Wonderful. Thanks. Thanks, Brother Nkobs. And yeah, so good to see all the visitors in attendance today. I mean, even the Harrisons, just when you think of what happens in the body of Christ and just how relationships are formed, you may look many years back and we would never have known the Harrisons otherwise, but they actually walked us through our premarital prep. They got us to where we are, and man, we are so grateful. So yeah, without further ado, this morning I want us to look at two particular days in history, and yeah, you'll see the title of the preach is The Most Ironic Day in History. So we're going to be looking at two particular days, many, many years apart. So let's start talking about the first day. This is the 16th of July, 1950. The setting or the location is Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And the actual place where this particular event was occurring, some of you might already be getting to where this is going. It was at the Maracanã Stadium. So I mentioned a stadium. What usually happens in stadiums? It was a soccer match. But this wasn't any soccer match. This was the 1950 FIFA World Cup, where it was Brazil versus Uruguay. Now, you don't have to be a soccer follower to know the history and just the heritage Brazil has in how good they have been at soccer. But if we look at the two teams, we'll look at their stats and how they stacked up against each other. But to look at the size of this event, there were about 200,000 people in attendance, paid participants or spectators. It's still said now today to be one of the most highly attended sports events of all time. Now we look at the two opponents. Brazil being the outright favorite, out and out. Their winning margins, 7-1, 6-1. It was hardly ever a competition, all the way till they got to the final. Even the media, the public, days before the match had already called it, the World Cup is ours. They have won so many matches. They had unbeaten streak upon unbeaten streak. They scored 21 goals in 5 matches. Kaizer Chiefs fans? Was that a little bit too? Okay. I withdraw my statement. But this is not a preach about soccer or football, but I really do hope you see where I'm going with this. Brazil was quite clearly set to win this World Cup match. It was going to be their first ever, and everything was pointing towards them being the winner. Final score, I'll jump straight to it. 2-1. Who do you think won? Do you know about this match? Oh, but you know where I'm going with this. Wonderful. Uruguay won the match. They scored the winning goal 11 minutes out from the end. And all Brazil needed was a draw. They didn't need to win. They'd gotten so good and had so many points. I'm not sure how all the other different points things work in World Cups, but that specific one, they just needed to have a draw to win the World Cup. And they lost it narrowly by 1 point. Defeat. Now, it doesn't end there. What I want to sort of paint, the picture I want to paint is the reaction, or at least the effect it had on the followers. The people, that near 200,000 people in that stadium, the people of Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, it's said in tabloids that there was a national mourning for a soccer match. People running around on the field after a ball. National mourning. It was so serious that even during the match, right towards the end, one of the reports says the stadium went into a disturbing and traumatic silence. I don't know what a traumatic silence looks like, but imagine a massive group of people. They don't know what to do. Their hope was gone. They'd placed all their hope. Okay, let me not say all their hope. But for that World Cup, they were excited. They saw the stacks up. They saw the statistics of Brazil. They saw how well they were doing. And their hope was that Brazil would take that World Cup. They looked like they were going to be the victor, right? I think we can all agree. But they lost. So that's the first day in history. Now let's change our attention to the second day. This one's going to be a little bit more familiar, I promise you. This is now around 33 AD. Thanks, Nkrobs, for explaining the AD thing. I was actually going to go into it myself. But AD stands for Anno Domini, which is the year of the Lord. And literally, it's 2026 now because Jesus was born. Like, how amazing is that, man? But 33 AD, the location, a hill just outside of Jerusalem called Calvary. And now when we look at the match, if we call it, it's Jesus Christ. He has had years of ministry. Let's talk about his stats if we can. Can we do that? Do I have the wonderful? So the recorded healings, this is just detailed accounts. 30 to 42 recorded detailed accounts of his healings, just in the Gospels. Now there's accounts of multiple mass healings that happened. So this could be thousands of people who were healed. They don't speak specific numbers the whole way through, but already he's healed many, many people. Fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves. That's a flex. That is a big flex right there. He calmed a raging sea with his words. None of us can ever imagine that just being a normal thing a normal person can do. But there was clearly something outright special about him. Now we can go through the word and go through the gospels, and it's very clear that he's the Son of God sent here to redeem. But if we're just looking at the matchup, it's effectively him versus the religious rulers. In the natural is what it looked like. It's Jesus versus the religious rulers and the Roman Empire. It may have looked to the people of Israel. But there was much more going on. There was a much bigger battle actually happening in the background. But if we just look at the one, the eye level one, right? Jesus now, he's done all these things. He's delivered people from evil spirits. He's set people free. He's proclaimed the good news. And many, many people are following him at this point. Then let's not forget the triumphal entry. It's almost like you're imagining that stadium in Rio de Janeiro as the champs are coming in. The king was coming into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, and there were throngs of people celebrating him, throwing palm leaves on the floor, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which means it's actually a plea. Deliver us. Their hope was in him. They saw who he was, who he is, the one who is meant to deliver them. That is what Jesus is. That is who Jesus is. But just like Brazil, the events that unfolded didn't look like a W. Ended in defeat, didn't it? I was expecting a few gasps there. But he came in with cheers, celebration. He was the undisputed, undefeated. He took no L's during his ministry. L's being losses for those who don't speak that language. He didn't even sin, not once. Not a single time. But that victory entrance led to what to everyone would have looked like a defeat. Just like Brazil, out and out favorite. It looked like it was a sure win. Some were even expecting him to overthrow the government of the time, to take his rightful place as earthly king of Israel. But God had bigger plans. So it is by his death on the cross, rejected by his own people, put to death, through crucifixion. It says in the word that he was beaten beyond recognition. I hope to never see a sight like that. But that is the account of Jesus Christ. The one who was not so long ago being celebrated by many. That was his end here on earth. Defeat. Death. The hope of the world breathed his last. Now you can think, how on earth does God get murdered by human beings? How is it even possible? If he's God in the flesh, it's like coming across, maybe I pass away and you come across my cause of death. Vugile, born 1992, died whatever year. Cause of death, murdered by an ant. That's the equivalent. That's the closest just imaginable equivalent I can put it to. We are nothing compared to God, yet he allowed that to happen to him. Why? We've been hearing it the whole morning. So it's like, spoiler alert, most of us even know why. But if you don't, let's look at the scripture in Romans 5, verse 8 to 10. Let the text speak. This defeat, this death that Jesus suffered on the cross. Romans 5, verse 8 to 10 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, let's note that, we once were God's enemies, not just born in your chomies with God. Something has to happen. Something had to happen. And we can celebrate because it did happen. But let's continue. God's enemies. We were reconciled to him through the death of his son. Died. Death. That word can never seem to have at all a good connotation to it. But in this case, it does. The death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So we've seen now from Romans 8 to 10. This death meant that for us. Reconciliation with God. It says we're his enemies. So just to give that backdrop, let's just do an exercise here, a quick exercise. Everyone stretch and get your arms ready. Hands up if you have ever lied. Put them up high. Let's see those hands. All right, okay. Let's keep them up, Okay. Now, I might have done this the wrong way around, but let's work with me. If you've been jealous of anything or anyone, keep that hand up. Yo, there's even two hands. All right. I love the vulnerability. That's what I'm talking about. If you've ever stolen anything, even if it's that 10-cent coin from your mom's purse. All right. So I'm seeing every single hand up right now in this place. So we're going to put our hands down. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for participating in that social experiment. But we can clearly see the one thing we do know about God is he's just and he cannot tolerate sin. He does not smile at it. It is repulsive to him. And something must be done about it. It says his wrath was satisfied. Through the what? Death of Jesus Christ. He had to die so that us, as the liars, the stealers, name it, just keep going. We are naming them. Wonderful. The enemies of God. Because if we are not living on the other side of the cross, that is what we are. Whether we know or not, the point is that we know now. What do we do about it? So his death, his defeat, unlike Brazil in Rio de Janeiro, was actually the victory. We often think it's the Easter weekend, Resurrection Sunday is when we celebrate. There's the victory, and of course, he rose. That's powerful. And there's going to be a lot more said, I imagine, about that on Sunday, but I'm not going to go into that. But the victory begins with his death. Death wasn't the, we just took an L. And then on the Sunday, yes, we actually won. It's even on his death day that the victory was won. The power of sin was broken. Broken. Our penalty, gone. So let's read another scripture just to reinforce this point. Isaiah 53, or as the Americans would say, Isaiah 53, verse 3 to 6. This is a prophecy now, and it is very clearly about Jesus. So if we start from verse 3, there's obviously some pretext to it, but even from this, you can see what he is referring to. So it says here, he was despised and rejected by mankind, the people that murdered him, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Let's continue. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God. That's what we deserved. He can't stand sin. We're the enemies. We're the A, B, C, D, E, F, G of all kinds of sins. And we deserved punishment. Every single one of us. Yeah? Even you at the back there, Wes? Just play. But praise the Lord. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. We might be very familiar with the scripture. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. That's quoted quite a lot, by his wounds or stripes we are healed. But if we just go back to 5 again, Aurelian, and just stick there for just a little moment longer. A word came through. I don't know if it was a word or just something that was mentioned during our prayer time. But it's the next one. 5. Number 5. There we go. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us what? Peace. I'm feeling even like a resonation with what Gabby was saying in coming into his rest. He's the one that provides the peace. We can't make it ourselves. You can have a hectic week and go try, do whatever under the sun. Peace will not come until Jesus. But it's the punishment that brought us peace, and not just peace for the moment, eternal peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. Let us continue. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Do we disagree with that? Well, it makes it a lot easier. I don't have to try to convince some more. Each of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All our sin. One person. The undefeated, undisputed, the greatest of all time, the MVP. He's not just the greatest of all time. He's the creator of all time. He took all of our sin. So we can see that this seemingly, quote-unquote, defeat on that day is a cause for celebration already. The celebration doesn't start on Sunday. It starts today. So while we're here, we've had some things to consider now. This particular day, it means different things to potentially different people in this room. So if you're here and you're hearing about this Jesus Christ, sent to earth in flesh, suffered this defeat after all he had done, this death that we can celebrate as our freedom, the price paid for our sin that we could never repay. And if you are here going, I don't know where I stand with God, because what this means for us is forgiveness of our sins. Number one, I don't know why I put two fingers up. Forgiveness of our sins. Number two, we read that already. Peace. Peace with God. Access to eternal life, a relationship with the living God, in which without Christ we can't enter. We can try what we may. We can build a 100,000-kilometer-long ladder. We'll just end up in space. The power of sin being broken over our lives. Shame and guilt being taken away because it was nailed at the cross. So if that's you this morning and you're going, yeah, I hear you, folks. And yeah, I know my life, it's not looking good. Or maybe it does look good, but you have come to understand that there is nothing you can do to enter God's kingdom, his family. The word says, only through Christ we've earned this right to become children of God. There's no other way, friends. If you're not sure that when you pass away, where you're going, this is something to consider. Have you received this gift of salvation? Have you repented of your sins and actually received what Christ has done for us there? So this is an unconventional way of doing things. But if that's you and you're not sure where you stand with God, or perhaps you've even drifted away, feel like you're no longer where you were with him, please raise your hand. I urge you this morning. Now's the time. He died for you and you and you, for everybody. Didn't count you out when he took that crushing defeat. So if that's you, please do not leave this place without responding. Let's see that hand up, come up high. Otherwise, we can celebrate. We've all received it. But I'll give it another moment. If you're feeling shy, if you're feeling something happening in your heart and you can't explain it, you don't know what to do, perhaps even lean over to your friend and tell them what's going on. But this is the biggest decision a human being can make in their life. Those yours weren't prompted. They're not paid actors, I promise you. That was genuine agreement. Just want to check with the other elders if you want to add anything. All right. Last call, a few more seconds. This is not about what other people think. It's not about who's next to you. It's about you and God. The most important relationship in our lives. Wonderful. All right. Well, praise the Lord that we are in him. And we can, at the very least, celebrate his death today. Not simply mourn it, though it did require mourning. But it was a powerful breaking of sin's curse on us. Amen? Amen. Amen.